Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a packed Monday. It is great to have you in. We are live in Los Angeles, and this is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, not only where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, but Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, will stop by as well. It appears, Joy Taylor, that it's possible a resonating voice in Houston is saying trade Deshaun Watson. There is hope in Houston.
You've seen the light.
Well, John McClain is a longtime columnist. He's been a columnist of Oilers, Texans for 30 years. And he's covered everything in that town, and everybody reads him. And this morning, he is saying trade him. And they should. Finally, somebody gets it. Remember how this game works. If you don't trade him for free agency, two or three teams get a quarterback. You don't trade him for the draft, another five teams get their quarterback. What happens? There's probably only one team left that needs a quarterback. There goes your bidding war. I could make an argument. This is the perfect time to trade Deshaun Watson. Number one, he's coming off his best statistical year. What does that mean? His trade value's never been higher. It's only 2 years ago. People liked him a lot, but worried about his injuries. He wasn't an elegant thrower. Now he's off his greatest year. Number two is the Jets, Dolphins, and Carolina. You got a bidding war. You have a bidding war. Jets and Dolphins in division don't want to have to face him. They'd rather have him. Number three, it's a very strong year for quarterbacks in the draft. Next year's a terrible year for quarterbacks in the NFL draft. This year's a great year. Number four, Deshaun is completely healthy. Remember, and I've said this about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has one more injury. Deshaun has another injury. All of a sudden you get that narrative. Well, you know, his trade value, he is getting older. And number five is the Texans are rebuilding. They just let go of their center. They just let go of running back Duke Johnson. They've already said Will Fuller's not coming back. You're rebuilding. How do you rebuild? Draft picks. You'd get a boatload. You don't rebuild with free agency because free agents don't want to go to losing teams. So everything lines up. Remember, sometimes you just have to, in life, take the telescope and turn it. The pandemic's a great example. You can look at it every day as an obstacle, or look at it every day as an opportunity because you're shut inside to be closer to your family. I mean, how are you going to view it every day? You want to be morose and you want to be negative, and you think to yourself, I'm going to get as close to my kids. We're off the treadmill. We're jammed inside. We can't go out. What we've tried to do in my family. The NFL is not the NBA. You see all the time in the NFL, you trade the star and you win the trade. That's how Jimmy Johnson built the Cowboys. Their best player was Herschel Walker. Jimmy Johnson decided on a jog in the afternoon. How do we rebuild this thing? He's our asset. Let's trade our asset. They ended up getting Pro Bowlers and draft picks. The New England Patriots, in 20-plus years of that dynasty, moved off stars all the time. It's not ideal. You'd rather have Patrick Mahomes forever. You'd rather have a top running back, Zeke, forever. But this is not the NBA, where if you lose a LeBron or a Kawhi, it's over. You lost the trade. It's just a matter of how bad did you lose it. That is not the NFL. Sometimes in the NFL, you just got to rip the Band-Aid off. The Raiders did not get crushed in that Khalil Mack trade. Had they not whiffed on their first-round pick for a pass rusher, they would have gotten a Pro Bowl running back and a top-five edge rusher. They just whiffed on their pick. So this game is not complicated. When a star wants out, the longer you wait, the less you get back. If you wait through free agency and don't take a call, you know, the Jets will get their quarterback, or the Dolphins will get their quarterback, or the Bills will get their quarterback. There's three teams off the market. Then in the draft, four or five teams off the market. Then you're left with no bidding war. You got maybe one or two teams max It's the time. Turn the telescope around. Finally, a voice in Houston. Take calls. Get it done. Deshaun Watson has reportedly told them, I will never wear this uniform again. Okay. Guys, if she says, I'll never, ever again come back into the house if you live there, it's time to call a divorce attorney. You got to get out of delusion. It's time to call the divorce attorney, and it's time for Houston to take calls. All right, so yesterday afternoon, I watched Milwaukee beat the Clippers. Clippers had the lead down the stretch and lost it. Giannis played very well. But it's interesting what is happening to the Clippers. Kawhi now shoots 28% from the field in clutch time this year. That's the worst in the league. Minimum 25 attempts, worst in the league. Paul George and Leonard were 0-9 in the last 4 minutes. It's interesting with Kawhi. He's what I would call a great mercenary, a plug-and-play guy. You bring him in, culture's already there. You bring him in, he gets a stop, and he gets a bucket. He's great at that. Darrell Revis in the NFL was great at that. You brought him in for a couple years, he's a great corner, made your team better. But in San Antonio, the culture was built with Popovich and Duncan. In Toronto, very well run. Kyle Lowry was the leader. The culture was built. Raptors have been good for years. Then in Los Angeles with the Clippers, hey, Kawhi, build our culture. Okay, that's different now. We all get that's different, right? There are certain people in my business. You can hire. They're funny. They're talented. You wouldn't build your franchise around them. And Kawhi is a loner. He's quiet. He's nonverbal. And we all know he's nonverbal. That is not, this is not a revelation, right? So there's generally two ways to lead. You're very verbal. You're very highly communicative. And if you're not, that would be preferable. You do like the talk and stuff. But if you're not, you lead by example. Well, we know Kawhi is not a lead verbal guy. Like, that's a given. He's very, very quiet. Almost odd in that sense. Okay, well, a lead by example guy. Well, that's not really him either. Lives in San Diego's, reportedly late to practice, load management, had his own trainer. Again. So he's not really a verbal leader, and he's not really a lead by example guy. Here's the thing, is that KD, Harden, and Kyrie, why is their chemistry so good? Because KD is a little bit more verbal, and KD understanding the burden or responsibility a star player has in any sport, Tom Brady in Tampa. When you come down and you're the star, there is a responsibility, especially as a veteran player like a Brady, a LeBron, a Kevin Durant. You're kind of the grown-up in the room. You're the highest paid. You're the grown-up. And Kevin Durant deserves a lot of credit for making this whole thing work, even if he's not playing all the time. There's a certain burden to be the second-best player in the NBA. You go to Brooklyn, and you got to build this thing. And, I mean, Kyrie at one point just left. And they kept winning. And then Harden comes in. It's like, one basketball. Kevin Durant deserves a lot of credit for this. Kevin's a guy among players. He's very respected. LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is quiet. That's okay. LeBron's the better player. He's very communicative. But Kawhi's the best player, like a Durant, LeBron, or a Brady, but he's nonverbal and he's not lead by example guy. And I think the Clippers keep waiting for him to, like, create this culture. That's not what he does. I mean, remember last year, I was wrong on this. They had the best team, they had the deepest team, and the roster was ridiculous. It went nine deep. What was the thing they were missing at the end? Chemistry. Once again, what are they missing this year? They're bad at the end of games. That's chemistry. That's communicating, being verbal, understanding, not just talent. They had all the talent last year. So there's a big difference between being, like Mookie Betts went to the Dodgers. He's a great player and a culture setter. Mookie Betts, I mean, we had Justin Turner on. He's like, he's on us day one. Trevor Bauer, the pitcher, comes in. He's just great. You're not going to build a culture. We got the culture, dude. His personality's not built to build a culture. Mookie Betts is. And it's okay. Not everybody is both. I mean, again, Brady, LeBron, Mookie Betts, Kevin Durant. It's a short list. It is Steph Curry's. I think Steph Curry's got this. It's a short list of great and great culture builder. And I think Kawhi is just great.
And we saw it with Anthony Davis. He was great. You don't build your culture around him. He's not physically reliable. Kawhi is not sometimes verbally reliable. He's not physically reliable. So it's interesting to watch the Clippers yesterday and so far this year. They're kind of melting down at the end of games. I think they brought him in thinking, okay, great player. And by the way, Jerry West, who had a say in this, most of the guys Jerry West brought in, Magic was a great player and a great culture builder. You know, I mean, Shaq and Kobe are both guys. They're very communicative, great players. You could build a culture with them. Pau Gasol's another guy, verbal, self-aware. So Jerry West dealt with a lot of guys that were good at that. LeBron James, very much like that. By the way, he was in Golden State. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, very much like that. Kawhi's not. He's a mercenary. And those guys are great too. But don't expect them to build this alliance in the locker room. Simply not who Kawhi is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So Michael Irvin's a broadcaster, former Cowboy great. He was talking the other day, probably on the NFL Network, and his quote was, the NFL quarterbacks and players now have the power to move. That's something that's been furnished to other sports. He says, but it also means they have the power to leave a team and to come to a team, and Russell Wilson wants Dak Prescott's chair. So I have a theory on this, is that when Tom Brady married Gisele Bündchen, a supermodel whose net worth is higher than Tom, she makes more than Tom. When you go home at night, what do you talk to your wife about? You talk to your wife about kids. That's a big part of it. And you talk to your wife about your businesses, if you're both professionals. Tom Brady is different since he married Gisele. His brand, TB12, is bigger. He got much savvier with his business. He did more commercials. He was more... from the gyms to his branding, he got a TB12 into Whole Foods in the Northeast. He's different. He's a little more global. That's his sounding board. That's his number one ally. And she's, by the way, got, you know, a litany of professionals she works with. So she's got her professionals and the marketing people in her life. And now Tom goes home every night and listens to Gisele say, this is what I'm hearing. And it does change you. And now Ciara, Russell Wilson's wife, is not, as a, terms of a brand, is not Gisele Bündchen, but she's an entertainer. And I don't think it wasn't lost on me last week when the four teams Russell Wilson named were all like entertainment cities. Vegas, New Orleans, Chicago, and the Dallas Cowboys. You don't think of Dallas as entertainment, but the Cowboys are entertainment. And I don't think, you know, a couple years ago, Russell Wilson, there was a rumor out there about trading Russell Wilson, and he was unhappy. What a shock. It was New York. And I just want you to think about this. Think about Dak Prescott is about somewhere between the 8th and 12th best quarterback in the NFL. You can put him wherever you want, but that's reasonable. Dak Prescott, 2 years ago, had made $50 million in endorsements. Pepsi, Citigroup, 7-Eleven, New Era Cap, Sleep Number, Campbell's Soup. Russell Wilson had Bose. So Russell Wilson goes home in Seattle and sits in his house and watches it rain. And Dak Prescott goes to his house in Dallas and watches it rain money and endorsements. Dak Prescott's like the 10th, 12th best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe slightly better. 50 million endorsements as an NFL player 2 years ago. I heard that number this morning. I was like, what? I mean, what's Patrick Mahomes going to make? What's Aaron Rodgers make? So when I look at these, do I absolutely think Russell Wilson, who is very aspirational, do I think he sits and thinks about that? Oh, all the time. There's stories like 2 weeks ago or a week ago in The Athletic where he went to the Super Bowl and he was just seething watching Brady. So when you, not everybody is like this. Some people, they go play football. Nick Foles just wants to play football. He almost quit twice. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Russell Wilson sees himself as an all-time great. And when you see yourself as an all-time great and you're buried up in the Pacific Northwest where it's techie and coffee and rainy and not really an endorsement mecca, and then you look at Dak Prescott, and I can guarantee you he and his agent, Mark Rogers, know he's making $50 million. By this time, it could be $100 million. And if Dak is the same price as Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson's also aware of that. So there's no doubt in my mind Russell Wilson and Ciara would not lose any sleep number if you're talking Dak, would not lose any sleep switching teams with Dak or going to the Cowboys. And by the way, the Cowboys, what do they keep showing Russell Wilson and outsiders? We like Dak. They like him, but no contract. So that's the image the Cowboys sent out to all of us, including Russell Wilson. We like Dak. So I people say this wouldn't happen. I don't know. Jerry Jones, the deal maker. Pete Carroll, by the way, runs the Seahawks now. He's a deal maker. He gave up two first-round picks to get Jamal Adams. He may want those first-round picks back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What do we have here? Whoa! J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals. 2 years, $31 million. That came out of nowhere. Per J.J. Watt's Twitter. Now let's not get fooled on this. Is this J.J. Watt's Twitter? So he got $15.5 million a year. He wanted the money. So for J.J. Watt, money was a thing. So DeAndre Hopkins recruited him hard. Hey, listen, man. Arizona's got Chandler Jones. It's a division with Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo. You need pass rushers. That's exciting. J.J. Watt goes to the Arizona Cardinals. How about that? Boy, that division is just nothing but trouble. God, that division. You could do an NFC West Pro Bowl team and take on the rest of the league. Seriously. That division is stacked. Look at all the pass rushers in that division. Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt. Now you got Carlos Dunlap, Aaron Donald, Bosa. Just the pass rushers in that division. They had DeForest Buckner a year ago. So J.J. Watt is a member of the Arizona Cardinals. So DeAndre Hopkins went after him. Well, he had us all fooled. This morning there was an Instagram, but it was a false Instagram that said he had narrowed his choices down, and we discovered that was a bunch of nonsense.
It was someone said it was his Peloton account.
What's that mean? A Peloton's a bike, but
right. Yeah, it was his account.
How would we know publicly what his Peloton account?
I mean, it said like people thought it was his account. He said he doesn't own a bike. I'm looking at his Twitter. He said, I don't own a bike. Stop, which is how report got thrown out.
I got no problem. He's going after some money. I got no problem. He won 15 and out. He's the only NFL guy on defense. Tell me the top defensive brand guys in the NFL. So there's J.J. Watt.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's just great. Does he have a brand?
He's like the first person you think of when you think of it. He's the best defensive player. He could be argued as the best player in the league.
I would say the Boses have something. Is it a brand?
Yeah.
It's something.
They have a name.
So J.J. Watt's number one, Aaron Donald.
Richard Sherman.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. Does he have a lot of endorsements? He's probably got some.
Yeah, I mean, he's outspoken. Also just a really big name.
There's just not a lot of, I mean, listen, I can't look at J.J. Watt and say, dude, this isn't nearly as good as the other teams because he has a right to make money. And by the way.
Oh, no, I mean, none of those teams that we were talking about earlier, Buffalo, Green Bay, like that's, you know what, they're better than the Arizona Cardinals.
And you know what's happening in this division? You got to keep up. I mean, so Steve Keim, the GM of Arizona, is like, Jamal Adams and Dunlap go to the Seahawks.
No, I think it's great for the Cardinals.
I mean, it's like recruiting in the SEC. You got to keep up. If you don't have a top 12 class, you can't compete in the SEC. You have to get great high school football play. That's why Lane Kiffin was going to get a job, because he can recruit. And eventually, if you can't recruit at an elite level, you just can't compete in the SEC. In this division, you have to get star players. You have to get – you're facing Russell Wilson twice a year, and now Stafford – the Stafford move, Arizona probably looks at Stafford and thinks, okay, we got three winning quarterbacks potentially. We got to go get J.J. Watt.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong on Monday.
Where Colin was right.
Russell Wilson's been unhappy last couple of years, finally going public. I've said this. Pete Carroll's a great coach. Let's stop the worship. Let's hold him accountable. Apparently this weekend, Russell Wilson made it clear he doesn't love Pete Carroll having his sons on the staff, which has been a trend that, frankly, I'm a little concerned with. There's a lot of good coaches out there. Prefer not kids getting the jobs, but whatever. I've said this before. Russell hasn't been happy. Now he's going public. I do think Pete, since Paul Allen died, has nobody holding him accountable. And according to Albert Breer, they may move Russell Wilson.
Where Colin was wrong.
Brooklyn Nets had an 8-game winning streak snapped, but I got to be honest. They're not only good, they're good quickly. They're number one in points. They're number one in offensive rating. They're first in field goals. It's all worked very quickly. Durant's leadership helps. Listen, Kyrie and James Harden at this point are getting along and it's working. It feels like a tinderbox to me, but listen, you look at the East right now, no way Boston can match up offensively. They just put too much pressure on a defense. And so it's working quickly, good enough to often miss one of their stars and still win.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Zion Williamson, where are all the critics now? Fourth youngest all-star ever. What about his defense? What about it? Young guys are never great at defense. Charles Barkley had a great career, wasn't a great defensive player. In February, he averaged 27 points and 65% field goal percentage. That feels pretty effective to me. He's been better statistically every month. I've loved this kid at Duke. I think he's got a real self-awareness. I think he's explosive. I think he's Charles Barkley, but stronger. I think he's Karl Malone, but more dynamic. And I think he has the potential for a better jump shot than Blake Griffin.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Steelers apparently have caved on Big Ben. It's pretty obvious the GM doesn't want him, but the Rooneys want to miss the playoffs again or get there and lose. He has not won a playoff game over a Pro Bowl quarterback in a long time, 13 years. Down the stretch, he was a wreck, 1-4, 12 touchdowns, 8 picks. I think he has aged poorly because he's never been physically committed. Frankly, I'm not sure he's always been mentally committed to the sport. He's just damn talented, but the Rooneys caved and they're going to bring him back.
Where Colin was right.
Said it for years. Every golfer owes a debt of gratitude to Tiger Woods, and they all wore yesterday a fitting tribute to somebody that changed their lives. Tiger Woods had the unique ability to humiliate you on Sunday and double your paycheck on Monday. He literally entered the sport. Nobody made $1 million. 9 years later, 45 million golfers made $1 million annually. I love this. I'm a sucker for some stuff like this. And Rory McIlroy even wore red. Of course, Tiger looked a little more ripped than some of the golfers, but nonetheless, I thought it was a wonderful tribute.
Where Colin was wrong.
I think I like Teddy Bridgewater more than NFL people. I always thought he and Alex Smith are the best bridge quarterbacks in the league. They can win games. They can get you to the playoffs. Apparently, Matt Rhule, the head coach in Carolina, is done after 1 year. Now, he did not play particularly well. They were 4-11. He was as a starter. He had his, 15 TDs, 11 picks. Like Alex Smith, he's not going to carry a team, but he's mature. He's smart. He learns a playbook, but they're moving off him. So the reports are either in free agency or the draft, Carolina's going to get a quarterback.
Where Colin was right.
John Lynch announced last week, finally, Jimmy Garoppolo's our quarterback. We got to hold on here. Jimmy Garoppolo won in high school. He won in college. He's won 75% of his games in the NFL. Yes, he gets hurt. It's a problem. I would draft a quarterback. I get it. I would draft a quarterback with my 12th pick if one's available. But this idea you're just going to scoot him out of town and replace him with the reckless Marcus Mariota, the reckless Sam Darnold, the guy wins. Never forget, Belichick loved him. Kyle Shanahan traded for him, and he wins 75% of his games. He's good. Let's stop arguing.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've never been a big fan of retread NBA coaches. Tom Thibodeau got hired by the Knicks. I thought, oh, brother. But they've won 7-9. this morning they would host a playoff series. Now, Julius Randle's had a good year. He's a nice player, but it's Derrick Rose has played okay, but it's a roster of kids and C players. But now I will say this, Thibodeau will just play all his best players 40 minutes. They'll probably pass out in about 3 weeks. But they're playing well, and I've always said the NBA is better when the New York Knicks are good. It's fun. Madison Square Garden, it's got its own vibe, it's got its own juice, it's got its own energy, and I love seeing the Knicks be relevant.
Where Colin was right.
I'm the biggest Utah Jazz fan in America that doesn't live in Utah. They are 23-3. They destroyed the Lakers last week. And Quinn Snyder, their coach, who was the best high school basketball player in the state I grew up with when I was in high school, has never really gotten kind of the respect. Maybe it's because Utah's a small market. He's got a lot of Brad Stevens. The difference is he's good at coaching stars. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's a star. This is a really good team. Their big problem is, do they have a wing defender that can give LeBron at least trouble? And I don't know if they do. But this is a really good basketball team with a star center, a great rim protector, Joe Ingles. They got four guys, I think, in the top 100 shooting threes. Donovan Mitchell can play both ends. I love him.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, I said when Steve Sarkisian took the Texas Longhorns job, I said, 3 weeks later, you're going to see this guy is going to get rolling fast. They are already number four nationally in recruiting. He just landed a five-star quarterback out of Los Angeles, a top safety out of Texas. And in a month, he has already made substantial inroads to in-state recruiting. And that is where Tom Herman struggled. Herman won games. He had lost some of the high school coaches in Texas, and they run that program. Sark is a guy that made a mistake in his life. And on Twitter, that means your life is over. But in real life, it doesn't. People make mistakes all the time. We have to, as a society, understand there are do-overs. You get mulligans. Are you a good person? Steve Sarkisian, who I've known for a long time, good guy, made a mistake, really, really smart. And I've said it before, I don't know why this is, but it is. I've always had a soft spot. Maybe it's the uniforms. Maybe it's because I love Austin, Texas. But I've always had a soft spot for Texas Longhorns football. College football needs USC, the Miami Hurricanes, and Texas to be good. College football has, I like a little glamour with my sports. Miami Hurricanes, I miss you. USC, Texas, I miss you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, for the last 20, 21 years, he's been the majority owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's an investor, an entrepreneur. You see him on the Shark Tank. I would say of all the owners in professional sports, he feels the most like us. Not just the jeans and the T-shirt, but he's outspoken. He yells at referees. He is us as an owner. And I get the great pleasure of interviewing Mark a handful of times every couple of years, and he is now joining us live, where Mark has invested, he told me last week, in a Peloton. So this is the new slip. Have you already done your Peloton ride this morning?
No, not yet today. I'm on the road, so no Peloton today. NBA protocol. Okay. I can only do it at my house.
Okay, so I want to talk about Luka. So I first heard about Luka, and I was skeptical. He was a European player. He was very young. And I'm like, you know, I saw the video. He doesn't look like a great athlete. I mean, I'm sure he'll score. He's highly skilled. And then all of a sudden, about 15 games into his career, LeBron's tweeting him like, oh, we got ourselves a star. When did you know, Mark? Because Dirk took a while to be great. When did you know in your staff, we have an all-time great potential player?
Probably about five games in, when everybody who started playing with him loved playing with him. And he was doing things that you never imagined a 19-year-old kid to do. That was just like off the charts. That, you know, it was hard to believe that, you know, a 10-year veteran could do those things. And Luka was doing them as a rookie. Like everybody has said, you can't speed him up. He plays at his own pace. He's got, he thinks three steps ahead of everybody. He knows where everybody is on the court. You know, he's just got the ability. And plus, I think, you know, what was uncertain about him being a superstar was how well he would improve during the offseason. And he's gotten better every single year. You can just list off the things that he's done to improve his game. And to me, that's the true measure of a superstar. What can you add to your game?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, even LeBron has tweaked his game seemingly every couple of years. You know, I could make the argument, you know, Dirk's, someone's going to argue, the greatest international player ever. You may have the next great international player. So take my audience, because, you know, you're a business guy. You're a global thinker. What did you learn with Dirk that you can now practically use with Luka in marketing, in development, in relationships, all in?
I think it wasn't so much that we learned in terms of business. It was more we learned in terms of personality. You know, Dirk has a heart of gold. He's the first to go to a hospital without the team asking. And, you know, and Uncle Dirk is showing up in Santa's outfits, you know, and being there with kids and not telling anybody until the kids post something on Instagram. And Luka's a lot the same way. When, you know, we learned that with great athletes who are really great in the community that have great hearts, you just got to enable them and let them go and let them be themselves. Don't try to say, okay, this is what we need you to do for the team. Just let them do what they do for the community and for people in need. And to me, that's everything. And you saw that with Dirk. And I think Luka saw that with Dirk when they were together, Dirk's last year, that was important. And it became important to Luka.
Mark Cuban joining us. Mark, I've said this before. It's a mystery in sports I don't get. Is that I've said if I was an NBA free agent, I could literally go to Dallas. The arena's next to a Ritz-Carlton. I could live there. No state tax. I have a marketing genius as an owner. It's a really nice city for a young man. It's beautiful people, fun, lots to do, you know, great airports everywhere. And yet, you finish second sometimes in free agent pursuits. And I think to myself, you're the kind of guy that's gonna get in your head. You're gonna think about that. I mean, I've argued, is it because it's seen as a football market, or that Cuban's the star? Like, I don't get it. Are you worried about that as you try to land a great player with Luka going forward?
No, not at all. I mean, people talk about that, but they fail to realize that we didn't have cap room for, you know, the first 15 years that I owned the team, and so yeah, we haven't gotten, you know, maybe, you know, the superstar. Leaving their team, you know, to come play with somebody with us. But we've only really had cap room 4 or 5 years. And so it's not something I'm worried about. I mean, who's not going to want to play with Luka? He makes everybody on the court better. And he's got the personality that just makes playing the game a joy. So it's not something I'm worried about at all.
You know, I've said this before. When you're on Shark Tank, everybody watches Shark Tank, those are usually what they call B2C businesses. Those are businesses selling to consumers. Now, there's B2B, business to business, which I'm sure you've got a bunch of those too. But with a business to consumer business, optics matter. Aesthetics matter. What it looks like matter. What's the emotion it sends to me? So when I look at the NBA right now, one of the reasons I'm fascinated with Zion is sort of the conflict, the aggressiveness at the rim and dunking. Do you worry at all with the NBA that the three-point shots become so easy? I mean, I'm looking at Luka's numbers. That it's now, you come down on a fast break, Mark, pull up and hit a three. That aesthetically, the game is just all jump shots. Do you think about that? Does it concern you?
Yeah, I think about it a lot. It hasn't got to the point where it concerns me yet, because what's changed is we used to have the big beast, right? You had somebody that was stronger, bigger, like Shaq, and even the Hakeems and the David Robinsons were just beastly, right? They could overpower you. But now in the pick and roll world, you've got guys who can really jump, who are really tall, but aren't really the beat down and you know, beat you up in the paint type guys, because you got to be able to guard some on the perimeter. And so you don't see the big beast down by the paint, by the basket, just dunking on people, except for maybe Boban sometimes. And so, yeah, it sometimes I wish that we had those battles of the bigs down there where they're just banging on each other. But, you know, the other side of the coin is you look to what kids are doing with their game, and everybody's learning to shoot threes. Yeah. I mean, if you can shoot it, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's what? It used to be that someone shooting 40% in the NBA was a marksman, right? That was just like the sign of an amazing elite shooter. And now there's, you know, people right around 50%. They're shooting not just from the three-point line like we used to, but 5, 10, 15 feet behind it and making them at 35, 40% clips. So you really got to give credit to, you know, player development and kids coming into the game learning how to shoot.
Yeah. You know, I've heard football coaches say this. If you play in a division with like Tom Brady, then when you draft players that can get to Tom Brady. He affects how you draft. When LeBron came west, did all you guys with the Mavericks sit down and go, okay, we may have to get somebody who can guard LeBron. Does he affect how you think going forward in the West?
Not so much right now. I mean, we used to do that when the Mavs and the Spurs were at the top of the Western Conference. Then you'd say, okay, how are we going to guard Tim Duncan? How are we going to deal? Because they had so many players that were that good. But now, you know, the West is just so good. And teams have so many great players. You can't just pinpoint against one and say, okay, you know, let's just worry about defending him. Because, you know, there's so much space on the court. And there's so much skill, like we were just talking about, that it's not ever just about one guy anymore. It's about the whole team. And as a matter of fact, you see that now when you have just one superstar and maybe not as much talent, or somebody got hurt, they're not nearly as effective because it takes more than one great player to have a great team in the Western Conference.
So listen, you talk about a lot of big issues. Here's a non-sports issue. I see Johnson & Johnson just came out with a vaccine. It's a single shot. And I look at the vaccine and I watch your NBA games and there's not fans there. You have to be an optimist to be a billionaire. My theory on this is business is so hard. You can't get to where you're at as a cynic. You have to believe there's a solution to stuff. That's just my theory on it. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel for the pandemic we're in as a sports owner? Like in your mind this morning, how do you feel about where we're going on that?
Oh yeah, absolutely positive. And you're right. You have to see solutions. An opportunity. But I look at the Johnson & Johnson to come out and people say, well, it's only 73% efficacy and it's one shot. And I'm like, that's perfect for kids. You know, start with high school kids that, you know, my 17-year-old daughter thinks she's invincible and her peers and, you know, middle school kids. And, you know, let's get them the Johnson & Johnson shot because it's easy just to get them one. They're less susceptible in many respects than older Americans are. And that takes care of a lot of the carriers. So with that in mind, you know, I literally had a conversation with our folks, with Cynthia, our CEO, and it was like, okay, let's get to 4,500, you know, in the next couple weeks. And then, you know, we're playing in April and May. It wouldn't be inconceivable if vaccines are readily available and we have more vaccines than people wanting them to open the arena back to, you know, 10,000, 15,000 or more.
By the way, you have to have great discipline to be where you're at in life, yet I still see you occasionally chirp at referees. Isn't there a little voice in your head that goes, Mark, you're on camera. Just don't say anything to that referee. He butchered a call. Do you ever have that self, that governor in yourself where you're like, oh, God, I'm yelling. This is going to be on, SportsCenter.
Yep. Yeah, I do. But, you know, everybody's got something, right? You know, you've been around me and talked to me and other, you know, other than those 2 hours during an NBA and a Mavs game, not even someone else's game, just a Mavs game. Those 2 hours, that's who I am, right? That's where I let out all my stress and I'm screaming and I'm yelling. And the other 22 hours of the day, you know, I'm just calm, cool, and collected. It's just everybody's got something that they use as a stress release, and that's mine.
Mark, absolute pleasure seeing you. Mark Cuban, a Shark Tank, Mavericks majority owner. I love talking to you, buddy. Thank you.